Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. Montana is renowned for the wildlife, but did you know we have pythons, tigers, an armadillo, and a two-toed sloth in Billings? Just down the road at Zoo Montana, there is nothing between you and a grizzly bear but a bit of glass. Zoo Montana's director, Jessica Hart, is here to tell us about what makes Zoo Montana unique and the challenges today and what's next.
Jessica, welcome to Resounds.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I think there might be a few listeners out there that haven't been to the zoo yet.
Yeah.
I hope not, but there may be. So let's just start off and tell us a little bit about, like, how big is Zoo Montana and what makes it unique?
Yeah.
Zoo Montana is kind of a funny term.
It is. It is. We are the only zoo in Montana. So that's number one uniqueness right there.
Yeah.
We are a 72-acre zoo. We use about 35 acres of that. So when we talk about the future, we're talking about there's room for growth. But right now, our animals are mainly rescues from Billings, Montana, all over the state. So when you think about grizzly bears or bobcats, you think about those are animals that are in Montana, and likely the ones that are at the zoo are rescued from a situation that may have happened in Montana.
I remember the controversy about Zoo Montana many years ago when it was starting, and people that were against zoos.
Right.
I think they don't understand what Zoo Montana's like.
Truly.
Because you're not going to see any African elephants or wild tigers or zebras.
You might see a tiger.
Oh, they're not?
But,
oh.
Yeah, but they're not too wild. We have two female tigers at Zoo Montana. But we all, only animals that we have at Zoo Montana that live outside are on the 45th parallel or above. So they can live their life outside and never have to stay inside for a season because the weather works well for them.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't think about the climate, but that is very important. And what percentage of the animals are regional animals that you would see in the wild in Montana?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say we probably have, I want to say 50% of our animals would be regional to Montana.
I imagine caring for all those different animals, it's so unique because each animal has different diet, different needs. Tell us about, you know, we're used to having cats and dogs and we kind of know how to do that.
Right.
What is it like with all those different animals, the daily challenges that you
have? Yeah. Yeah. It would be a challenge for me. I don't have a history in animal care, right? So it would be a challenge for me, just like anybody else who has dogs and cats at home. But we have 9 incredible care staff that take care of these animals. So it's very much like the animals at home, but we're feeding them a lot more. We're cleaning up after them daily and making sure that their health is number one, that they're taken care of from sun up to sundown and afterwards as well.
And again, you said the animals, some are rescue animals.
Yeah.
Where do other animals come from?
Yeah, so all of the other animals that Zoo Montana has that is not a rescue come from other zoos. Many of the animals that we have that are not rescues are in a breeding program called Species Survival Plan. So SSP for short. And these animals are probably on the endangered list somewhere. So threatened, endangered, and further from there. And so those animals that we have are likely in our population to help breed to someday, if we need to, release a genetically pure population out into the wild.
So breeding in captivity, I understand, is quite challenging.
Can be.
Tell us about some of your successes.
We're pretty prolific. Our wolverines have bred 3 years in a row in captivity, and that's unheard of. It hasn't happened before. So we have done that 3 years in a row. We gave Mama a rest this year, and we have a new male coming in. So likely we'll have wolverines again. But in the meantime, we have red panda babies currently, and possibly this summer, more red panda babies.
Boy, is that a marketing strategy. A baby panda.
A baby red panda isn't, isn't anything cuter.
What is, you know, I guess that brings up the question, breeding wolverines, which you rarely see a wolverine
out
in the wild.
Absolutely.
So what is the balance between the access for people seeing animals and you protecting the animals?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our animals are, they're given choice, right? So if they do not want to be seen, they have spaces that they can go. They can go into their night house, or they can stay out on habitat. And many of our wolverines or wolves have dens that they can hide into. So they have the choice to choose where they want to go. If they want to be seen, they'll be out. If they don't want to be seen, they'll be hidden for sure. Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions about zoos.
Yes.
Growing up, people went mm-hmm. to zoos and they were small and confined mm-hmm. and the animals didn't look very healthy.
Right.
But what is the modern zoo?
The modern zoo. They're growing. They're giving more space. And many zoos are taking care of animals that were out in the wild at some point and can't live out in the wild any longer. So rather than euthanizing an animal, they're giving them a space to live their healthy life, as long as that can be in a zoo.
There must be some really unusual things that happen at the zoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you've been there about 6 years.
Yes, yeah.
And you've just recently become the executive director. What was your job before?
I was in communications there before, and then I moved into operations.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah.
So tell us, in the time that you've been there, what are some of the unusual animal activities that's happened at the zoo?
I think in my first month, there was an animal care staff that came to me and said, "Have you seen Moo?" And I was, "Who is Moo?" Moo was a hognose snake that was missing. I had not seen Moo, and I have not had a lot of experiences with snakes. So they said, check all of your drawers. I said, what do I do if I find a snake in my drawer? Oh, pick it up and bring it to me. Again, I don't have animal history, and so thankfully I did not find Moo.
But Moo was found?
Moo was actually not found. So there's a joke still that we're, anytime we're moving something, moving furniture or building a new habitat in the building, we say, are we going to find Moo today?
So Moo moved along.
We haven't found Moo yet. So Moo found a new place somehow.
I have lots of friends that have grandkids.
Yeah.
And the zoo is a sanctuary.
Absolutely.
There's so much space. And kids go several times a month, back to the zoo. Yeah. One of the things that I think is really fascinating is your sensory garden. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that and who takes care of all of that.
Yeah, we have an incredible group of volunteers. We have about 65 volunteers in our botanical society who take care of 9 gardens. So not just their sensory garden, but any garden you see around the zoo, they're taking care of that on volunteer hours. They're beautiful. They have different varieties of plants in each different garden. So you should be able to walk around the zoo and see something different in each garden.
So what is the balance between paid staff and mm-hmm. volunteers?
We have the most paid staff we've ever had right now with 39.
So we're 39?
39 paid staff. So I think about 28 are full-time and the rest are part-time or seasonal, but we're creeping on up. And then the rest of the help is probably 50 to 70 garden plant people. And then we have a lot of animal volunteers, I would say about 20 of them. So we're creeping into the hundreds on volunteers, whether it be plants and animals or just the Cyclical volunteers that come for events too, right? So we don't have them every day or every third day. They come out for events to help us keep the grounds clean and keep people safe.
And then are you open 12 months a year?
We are. We're open almost every day of the year. So we have, I think, 3 days off every year.
Can I ask what kind of a budget you have? I had no idea there were so many employees.
Yeah,
we are keenly aware of all of that.
Yes, I am very aware. And I think in the last year, I've become more aware. We have currently a $4.7 million budget.
And where does your money come from?
Our money comes from the visitors and guests. Anybody who wanted to donate their 5 cents or $5 million, that comes to Zoo Montana, but we don't receive any city, state, or county funding.
Mm-hmm. But do you write grants
we
for
do.
Some,
yep.
some particular yep. programs?
Yeah, or? So we have a healthy development department that takes care of a lot of that. And we're currently working on building a veterinary hospital. We've never had a vet hospital on grounds. And with that, we're adding another staff person. So we'll hit 40 with a veterinarian.
A veterinarian at a vet hospital? I think that's fascinating because, of course, Rocky Vista University is adding a veterinary school. Will you be working with them?
Yes, we will be. Their third year students will be out at the zoo doing zoo rounds. If they're interested in zoo veterinary care, they will have the opportunity to come out to Zoo Montana and see our animals, learn from our animals, and care for our animals.
That's so interesting. I work with the Yellowstone Valley Animal Shelter, and I know they're going to have a program working with the vet school.
Absolutely.
But I never thought about the animals at a zoo.
Yeah.
That must be entirely different.
Yeah, a lot bigger, and I think a lot smaller at the same time. We have invertebrates, so we have millipedes, and then we have bison that are much larger than a millipede. All the whole spectrum.
Vet for a bison. I'm trying to think about like large animal veterinarians. I guess that's a whole category.
That is a whole category.
What about snake vets? I mean,
there's a vet for everything, right? And depending on their specialty, depending on their care or choice of animal, they can really dive into each. But we're hoping that we find somebody who really just loves the idea of working at a zoo.
Oh, I think that's so fascinating. I remember when the zoo first started, and it was a little bleak out there.
Yeah.
How long has the zoo been there? And tell us a little bit. I'm fascinated with the sensory garden and the trees and all the volunteers you have. It has really grown.
It has really grown. So we opened our doors in 1995. So we turned 30 last year. So 31 this year. And we've grown drastically. We've added plenty of animals. So when you come out, you'll get to see. But we have, like I said, 9 gardens to visit and see and smell. And it's just a great place to come visit, right? It's a safe place. It's a comfortable place. And it's a great place to support. If you're interested in animals or plants, you're learning about the environment of Billings, the environment of Montana, and about animals that can live here.
How many actual walking miles do you have at the zoo?
Our pathway is about 1.3 miles. So you got to take a couple laps to get a couple miles in, but there's no reason that you wouldn't want to take a couple laps. We have animals on each side, but we also have plants. And then we have great pond areas and scenic areas that you can just sit and relax for a little bit. And if you have kids, we have 2 great playgrounds, and they're safe, fun playgrounds.
Right. Now, tell me how the cost and the membership. Yeah. I would think, as a retired person, what a great place to go out several times a week to go walking.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between just going to the zoo and a membership?
Yeah, if you go to the zoo, you're going to pay admission. Depending on how old you are, it's $15 and down. So an adult is $15, and then our children are 10. And then anybody under the age of 3 is free. And so you could pay that one time, or you could pay $109 for a membership and come multiple times. So if you have a family of 4, or even just 2 of you, and you really like to come out to the zoo, that pays for itself immediately. You know, you came 3 times in a month and you're paid for on your membership, and the rest of the year is pretty much free.
I think that's very reasonable.
Yeah, it is.
Especially for families.
Yeah.
A place that you can go several times. Experience it differently in the morning than the mm-hmm. afternoon. So are there peak times for animals?
Yes. So spring and fall, where the weather is cool, kind of like today, and in the morning, right? They like the cooler weather too. So if it's 100 degrees outside, I don't know if I'm going to be wanting to walk around.
Right.
And I know our bears do not want to be sitting outside in 100 degree weather.
There are lots of other activities yes. that go on at Zoo Montana other
Absolutely.
Than just visiting the zoo.
Absolutely.
What are some of your special events?
Special events. Well, we have everyone in the community utilizes Zoo Montana as an event space. So we host events for anybody who's interested. Nonprofits, for-profits, they can borrow the zoo for the day and then host events there. And then Zoo Montana does a lot of educational events. So if you're thinking about, I want to learn a little bit more about what's going on or this specific animal, our education team will have those events monthly and bi-monthly. So there's time for you to learn about Zoo Montana and the animals, but then you also have so many community partners that utilize the zoo for their events as well.
So I work with the Alberta Bear Theater, and I see
yeah.
these school buses come to all of
yeah.
our shows. I just realized that in addition to families, I bet you work with a lot of students throughout the year.
We do, yeah. Actually, May, the month of May is booked, right? We have school groups coming in every day of the week, whether it be schools from out of town that are bringing their kids on a weekend or Billings schools that come just for a field trip. So we have students there to visit almost every day in the month of May, which is incredible.
A perfect time to be at the zoo.
It is.
And we're moving into May.
We're getting closer.
So, Jessica, you've worked with the zoo in a variety of positions. What are the biggest challenges that the zoo faces?
I think one of the biggest challenges is that Billings doesn't know that we're here sometimes, or Montana doesn't know that we're here. Billings is learning, right, or has known. But like you said in the beginning, some people might not know that there's a zoo here. That's a huge challenge, right? When we want visitors to come in, when we want people to show pride in Zoo Montana, we need our community to surround us with that, and our community of Billings. And then we grow to Laurel and Lockwood, and then we think about Bozeman and Missoula. We're Montana's zoo, so I would love for everybody in Montana to know that we're a zoo and we're in Billings.
I just think driving across the state when you see those horrible See 'Em Alive grizzly pens
yeah.
and whatnot that I have thousands of people going to, and mm-hmm. it's just so depressing. Do you think, well, I guess you probably know this, but if people haven't been to the zoo, what's their response? Do people come back? Do they feel good about it?
Yeah, a lot of the time we hear that, oh, I've never been to the zoo, or I didn't know Billings had a zoo. So often we have passes in our pockets for that very reason. If you're out in the community and say, come to the zoo. Lots of the time they stop on their way out and say, thank you so much. I didn't know we had this treasure here in Billings.
Oh, that's so great to
yeah,
know.
It is.
Now, you are occupying, what, 36 acres, did you say?
72.
Oh, you
and
have 72.
We have 72. Yeah, we occupy about 35. Yep.
And do you have plans for
expansion?
We do
have plans for expansion. We have a huge master plan that was built in the 80s. Are we following that master plan? Probably not as closely as maybe the person who wrote it. But we are growing. And in the last 5 years, our budget has grown exponentially. That really helps us grow forward, right? So, yes, we have plans, and we have plans of bringing in a new habitat. I always get leery of telling what's next because it could change tomorrow, right? We could have something really exciting, but we're thinking about a large cat coming in next.
Excuse me?
A large cat. I can't tell you what kind.
Oh.
But a large cat.
It's not a domestic cat, I
No.
would say.
Yeah, so when we talk about tigers and lions, we call them large cats because those cats act just like a house cat.
Yeah.
Just bigger and a little bit scarier.
And each animal probably needs a little bit different environment.
Absolutely. Yes.
Who does the design for, you know, animal enclosures?
Yeah, there's lots of people. We kind of look at all designs in the zoo world, right? We're a part of AZA, the accrediting body for zoos. And so we talk to a lot of zoos about what designs work well for them. And so if we're looking at this large cat or leopard habitat, we need some space for them to climb, but we also need a lot of space for them to roam. And so we could talk to a local architect, we could talk to a local design firm, but what our experience is they don't understand large cats. And we could give them all of the information, but really we find design helps us when we talk to other zoos about what has worked well for them.
And there are different kinds of zoos. I imagine that education is best got from someplace that already has a similar experience or the similar animals.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. We have learned a lot in our last couple of years, or myself included, just experiencing conferences with AZA and going through the accreditation process. We just did that last year and we're reaccredited. So we learn a lot from those inspectors that come to our grounds and see what we have and then say, here's our future plans. What do you think? And they really helped. We showed them the bare bones of our veterinary hospital and they said, let's change it. Let's move this here and put this there. Man, those experts or just the people in the field really can help us learn.
So really, you're partnering with other organizations.
Absolutely.
And that accreditation actually helps you in terms of planning for the future.
Yes, yeah. The accreditation is that gold seal of approval that we are a great safe place to care for animals and that we're on the up and up. We are doing everything right and our finances are good and we've got a great space for animals to be, but people to be as well.
Mm-hmm. And do you have other sort of outreach activities that happen outside of the zoo?
Yeah, so we have an education team, which consists of three educators and a conservation educator. So when we talk about more of that conservation stuff, that's what that person does. But those people, those are the ones that go to the classrooms, that maybe stop in a nursing home or at a park for a big fun day and see our animals out. Those are the people that are out talking about Zoo Montana and do the work that we do.
And as a former communication director, I guess you know the importance of that.
Yeah. Really getting, like I said, making sure people know that there's a zoo in Billings, that there's a zoo in Montana, that's huge. And then when people think zoo, they have their thoughts, right? And so our outreach or our education team is there to debunk all of those thoughts and help people realize that Zoo Montana is a great place and that zoos are doing great work.
If someone only had a half hour
and
they're on their way out of town or coming into town or waiting in Costco, the zoo is right there.
Yes, absolutely.
Could somebody come in for a half hour and what should they go see?
What
are the more popular exhibits?
Please stop. If you have 30 minutes, you could probably walk the whole pathway. You wouldn't be able to read everything, right? But if you wanted to stop and really see animal activity, otters are great. They are so fun. They're always in front of that window. If they see people, they usually like to show off. Our grizzly bears are cool because they're a Montana animal, right? And if you want to see something truly Montana, look at a grizzly bear. Tigers are cool too because we don't have tigers. So the opposite of the grizzly bears, we don't have tigers just roaming around. We wouldn't be able to see them in Yellowstone, right? So that's a great one. And then, of course, the red pandas are beautiful.
Do you have a favorite animal?
I have several favorite animals. I am a cat girl. So when I came, our lynx, Fiersa, was my favorite. And I think she's still very high up there. She's a big cat. But recently we added some bobcats, and I'm a Montana State graduate. Ooh. So, man, I couldn't imagine a better animal to bring in. So we have two baby bobcats currently.
Oh.
Both cats that I really enjoy.
And were those bred in captivity?
They were not. So they were rescued from the western side of the state, one up near Lolo and then one up near Kalispell.
So when you're talking about rescue animals,
Right.
What organizations do you work with that bring animals to you?
Yeah, so we usually work with FWP, and so anyone that has an animal that needs to be rescued must talk to the state about those animals, and then they come to us and say, hey, we found an animal. Can you take
FWP,
Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. Yes.
I knew that, but yeah, I thought maybe somebody else.
So Fish, Wildlife, and Parks are the people that we work with. We can't take in an animal from Montana just to take one in. We have to talk to the state about that animal coming to us. Mm. And so likely they'll reach out to us, or we'll kind of hear that there's bears available or that there are bobcats that need a home. And so that's how they end up at Zoo Montana.
So when Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has an animal or finds an animal, what is the transition like from taking a wild animal and bringing it to the zoo?
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you a little bit how the bobcats came to us. We got the call saying, we have bobcats. Are you interested? And the answer was yes immediately. But we didn't have a space. So we had to make sure we had a space available. So it took about a month after we got the call to get our space available. What happened with those animals at that time? They were in Helena at a rehab center. We picked them up, drove them to Zoo Montana, and then they started their 30-day quarantine. So they're not available to be seen, and they're cared by one person or two people to make sure that there's no cross-contamination with anything that these animals have or animals on grounds that have. And so we're just making sure that they're healthy at that point. And then the transition from wild animal to wild animal in a zoo is a little bit of training, getting them comfortable with their habitat, letting them explore, but not explore too far, right? We don't want them leaving us. We want them to want to stay. And so giving them enrichment, and enrichment is toys for animals, right? And so we have to make sure that they have stuff that they want to continue to stay at Zoo Montana.
Jessica, thank you for coming into the studio. It's just the perfect time for us to do a show like this because spring and summer is coming up. Those must be your busy seasons.
Yeah, spring and summer. But man, this winter, we've had so many people. So yes, spring and summer, busy, busy. Fall is a great time to come. Winter is also a beautiful time, but
we'll have more information on our website, Jessica, so people can find out about the wonders of Zoo Montana.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.